This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
Name any word in less than a second. I will tell you how many letters are in it. But I cannot do anything mechanically. I don't even know how to put a game together for three-year-olds.
And the Bulldog.
Fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, rolling along on a Wednesday we go. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. Thanks for tuning in. We always appreciate it. Joining us right now on the West Hur Hotline is NFL National Lead Writer for Bleacher Report, Mike Tenier. It's also the co-author of the Football Outsiders Almanac. Good, we just had Aaron Schatz on Friday, as a matter of fact. Mike, it's nice to talk to you again. I'm Chris. How's everything going?
Everything's going great, but if you hear my printer going in the background, rest assured that is not a fax sending any news about a Jadeveon Clowney trade, so don't get too excited about that.
Rats! Well, what are your thoughts on, I guess, multifaceted question here. Do you think he's going to be traded? Should he be traded? Like, should Houston trade him, and should the Bills be interested?
Okay, let's go through that to a degree. Will he be traded? I feel like that's very possible. A lot of people agree with that. Should he be traded? It's funny. I was looking for potential trade partners, and one of the questions I asked, well, who has a lot of 2020 cap space? Because one of the things you'll have to do after this franchise situation is you'll have to extend him. Who has the most cap space? You can put a lot of money on the table for Jadeveon and have him happy beyond 2019. The answer was the Houston Texans, the team he plays for. They should be getting this done. They should not be trading him. They're a playoff team. He's one of the top, 500 players in the NFL. They should be keeping him there. Are the Bills interested? Yes. Is there any progress, any real progress? I've heard no. I've heard that there's not any significant progress beyond like some inquiries. A lot of teams are inquiring. I saw some joke tweet saying that, so far he's been rumored to already be traded to the Ravens, already traded to the Dolphins, already traded to the Bills, and already traded to the Knicks.
Right.
That's the situation you're looking at right now.
Mike, how much do you know about why Houston doesn't want or didn't want to meet big contract demands? Like, why are they here? This is I think at least a very good, if not great, player. They're a team that should contend for the playoffs, the division title, even. Whether they can climb past Kansas City and New England, I mean, we'll see, or even Indianapolis in their own division. But how did we get here with Jadeveon Clowney in the first place?
Now, there are some injuries in his background, and those could probably be sticking points in negotiations. That said, there haven't been a lot of negotiations. And one of the things I think Bills fans know is the Texans do not have a GM. Well, they have five GMs. Well, no, they don't have five GMs. They have one GM. It's Bill O'Brien, the head coach, and he got the two straight general managers kind of ousted from their positions and put together a committee of assistants who are supposed to be sharing the job. But really, these are guys who have to kind of work within the framework of what Bill O'Brien wants. And we know in the past that the Bill Parcellses of the world could do that, but Bill O'Brien is not Bill Parcells, and it's not 1993 or whenever Parcells did that. It's 2019. You have a team that's kind of been asleep at the switch with a lot of things. So you had a team that's suddenly going out and getting a running back in Duke Johnson and trading a third round pick, which is a lot for him. You have a team that really didn't solve its offensive line issue, so it went out and it got Ryan Khalil and paid too much for him. A lot of decisions like this, I think that there was just like a general miscommunication about Jadeveon Clowney. There wasn't a lot of forward thought about this. And sometimes when the head coach is making the decisions, he makes very short-sighted decisions. Makes decisions coming off the field in the heat, and I think there's a lot of that has led to sort of unnecessary bad blood and an unnecessary stalling of negotiations for a very, very good football player.
One of the things that has always sort of made sense to me as far as the Bills' interest goes is the assertion, and I saw this shortly after Brian Gain was dismissed as their GM. Of course, he worked here in Buffalo under Brandon Bean prior to taking that job, and now is back here in a consulting type role. I've seen it asserted and reported that Gain was very pro signing Clowney to an extension and O'Brien wasn't. So, of course, with Gain being back here in the organization, the trail of breadcrumbs leads you to the Bills would, you know, it would make sense if they were interested in this player.
Yeah, and that means that everybody's got everybody else's text message. Everybody can work a little more quickly. You don't need Brian Gain to be pro-Jadeveon Clowney, though.
Right.
I think a lot of GMs out there that are in the same place there and are going to make some of the same inquiries. So you know, that's a little something. Again, there have been some inquiries there, but it doesn't add up to much in that there's going to be a lot of bidding, there's going to be a lot of offers, and not everybody knows who they're going to be talking to get these deals done, because it's not really clear what the organization chart looks like for actually making real decisions besides Bill O'Brien in Houston.
What's a reasonable return for Clowney at this point? Like, what can Houston expect? Because this player is only going to be yours for 1 year, presumably.
Yeah.
You don't know whether you can sign him to an extension. So, maybe conditional picks are a part of it. But on the surface, like, it seems like you have an opportunity to buy low, which is appealing.
That's exactly it. And I think what the triumvirate in Houston is discovering is they're being lowballed right now. That if they're looking at this as some kind of blockbuster, you know, a lot of us started right away saying, hey, trade him to Washington for their disgruntled offensive lineman for Trent Williams.
Right.
Trade them straight up. Well, Trent Williams is an all-pro with a couple of years of contract under his belt. You have control of him for a couple of years. That's not a fair trade at all. So, you know, I think that you're going to be looking at a mid-round pick, or they're going to be looking for sort of a challenge trade for another guy who's got 1 year left. I haven't gone around the league and looked at guys with 1 year left. Things like that, but that might be what Houston's max is right now in return for Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, and it's most likely offensive line, right? That's the Texans look like a pretty nice team. The quarterback's really good, DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. but you've got issues blocking, right?
Yeah, blocking is the number one, but it could also be a receiver because I've already seen the injuries. Katie Cody and those guys are already hurt there. So beyond Hopkins, there's not a lot. And it could be draft compensation as well. Although, again, when you're a team that's competing, your team, I think they were 11-5 last year, and say, hey, we traded one of our best players for draft compensation, that's not good general managing decisions on the part of the organization, but that's kind of where they're at right now.
Right, which, again, circles you back to they don't have a general manager. That's
yeah.
that's a big part
right,
of the
right, right.
what got them into the situation in the first place. We're talking with Mike Tenier. He is with Bleacher Report talking about Jadeveon Clowney and the Houston Texans. Setting that on the side there, not mm-hmm. assuming at all that the Bills will make this move for him. What are your thoughts on the Bills moving into 2019 here? We've got Sean McDermott in year three. We've got Josh Allen going into year two. They did load up with volume, if not necessarily quality. There's a lot of quantity as far as free agency goes. What do you think of this team moving into 2019, Mike?
And they needed a lot of quantity because they need a lot of people. And I think that they shored up a lot of things there. But, nationally, we look at, and you're going to hate your readers, listeners are going to hate hearing that the Bills and the Jets, we kind of put them in the same category. You got second-year quarterback, you got some new pieces, and you guys are trying to rise up and do something against the Patriots who are ready to stomp on everybody like they do every single year. And most of us across the NFL are a little higher on Sam Darnold right now, or a lot higher on Sam Darnold than Josh Allen. Allen looked pretty good in that preseason opener, but there's a sense that Darnold's a little further along.
Mm-hmm.
You put that together, and a lot of us have put the Jets in the wild card picture around 9-7 or so, and we put the Bills somewhere in that, like, where they've been for the last couple of years, that 7-9 category. So that's kind of my feeling right now. Like the defense, like a lot of the additions, feel like there's yet another year of building that has to get done there, and there's another year of kind of waiting to see if the Patriots were ever going to collapse and create more opportunities in that division.
Yeah, man, I think we could do a whole 20 minutes just talking about the Patriots and if they're ever going to collapse or not. Maybe we'll get to it. On Allen specifically, we know accuracy issues. I mentioned Aaron on Friday, and he, you know, every time we have him on, our Twitter mentions get flooded with, who is this guy? Because, he's got his logarithms and his formulas, and it spits out a negative prediction on Josh Allen. Did you see progress last year from the first part of the season when he got thrown into the lineup and then was hurt and missed some time and then came back? It seemed like there was the offense changed and maybe his performance changed. Does that sound right to you?
His performance changed from absolutely unacceptable. The only reason it looked good is because it was compared to Peterman at the beginning, to something a little more competent late in the year, where you saw some evidence there besides running, you know, that he was doing things as a quarterback. And you know, that is significant. I'm not going to poo-poo that totally, but I know the Bills Mafia. I've kind of had them on my timeline,
sure,
too.
Yep.
And I know there was a sense, oh, there was that 4-touchdown game at the end of the season. That proved he's arrived. It was kind of a fluky game. Go back and look at it through with non-excited Homer fan eyes, and it's a different thing. I watched the preseason game. I saw a couple overthrows early. I was like, here we go again. Then I saw some crisper throws, into traffic, some more of a progression of read type thing. So I may not be as negative as your average analytics guy. I may not be as negative as Aaron, who's a better than average analytics guy by a long stretch. But there's still a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of sort of hope and finger crossing. And I hope fans are ready for that, because I think there's going to be more growing pains than some people are ready for.
I don't know enough about the inner workings of the analytics world as it pertains to football. But like for me, mm-hmm. anyway, and I think for maybe a lot of our audience, Aaron is like the godfather of football analytics. Like,
yes.
I never really thought about it until we started talking about Football Outsiders and getting Aaron on the show on a regular basis. We're talking with Mike Tenier. He's a contributor to Football Outsiders as well, co-author of their almanac, which is out now. He also works with Bleacher Report. How about what they did specifically at receiver? Cole Beasley, John Brown. What do you think of the, I'm going to say upgrades, because last year the receiving corps was maybe the worst in the league.
Yeah, that's it. I think those upgrades are significant. I think there was some progress late in the year as well. I think Foster showed some life. A guy, Zay Jones, I think a lot of us loved in a lot of ways coming out of school, and his career went really sideways for a while. Looked like he was going to come around. So you put all that together, and you put good infrastructure in place for Josh Allen, because, you know, realistically you can say he didn't have a good target short middle of the field to dump the ball off and get yards after catch for. He has that now in Beasley. You might not have had the speed, I guess, besides Foster, to get deep and get under some of those deep throws. Now you got Foster and Brown that provide some of that speed. And you can add to the offensive line as well, where some pieces were added there in free agency and in the draft, where it's like, okay, you're going to have a lot more stability on the offensive line. So you put it all together, and it's good for the development of your quarterback. Is it great? No. Is it a top five unit? No. Are they as good as the Jets even right now? And the Jets made some modest upgrades in receiver and running back. I'm not necessarily sure, but they were necessarily moves, and they're good moves, and it's going to take an offense that really went nowhere at times last year, and it's going to make it much more viable.
In the backfield, it looks kind of crowded with McCoy,
yeah.
Gore added, Yeldon added, Devin Singletary drafted in the third round. It's kind of too bad Houston made that move for Duke Johnson. We'd probably be trying to connect dots with LeSean McCoy being a trade chip to go to Houston. You know, he's obviously much older than Duke Johnson. What are your thoughts on the backfield? It feels to me like I doubt all four of those guys I mentioned are going to be here when the season begins. Maybe that'll be Yeldon who ends up being the odd man out. But, boy, a McCoy trade has made sense to me for a long time here.
Right, but I don't know what McCoy's trade value is. You know, maybe the Cowboys flinch as you get close to the season on Ezekiel Elliott, and they make a trade for LeSean. That's not a rumor. I'm just spitballing
here.
Singletary played real well in the preseason opener. I could see him right there kind of playing Yeldon out of the picture. Because you say, well, Yeldon will be the changeup guy. He's going to catch the short passes. He's going to be the quick option. Singletary's that guy. Then Yeldon probably isn't that guy, because you don't keep a lot of guys there. You're going to bring Gore in. Gore's going to outwork everybody, you know, until he's 97 years old. He's going to be back there. So, yeah, I don't know where Shady fits in all of that. And it seems like Gore and Shady, to a great degree, kind of cancel each other out or do some of the same thing. But if it's those two veterans and Singletary as the quick guy who comes in and plays a lot of third downs and a lot of dump-off target things, you can see that making sense. It's fine cap-wise. There's not a cap reason where you have to let any of those guys go. And you've got two guys who can help Singletary develop, two of the, you know, especially Gore, one of the best role models you can have for a running back. So you can work with that.
We'll flip around and look at the defense real quick, and then I want to get to the division. I know you've already mentioned the Jets and the Patriots, and I said I wanted to save time, so I will. On defense, Ed Oliver drafted 9th overall in the middle of the defensive line. It seems like as camp has gone on, he's getting more and more time with the ones, and that's very encouraging. Tremaine Edmonds is still just 21 in the middle of that defense, and I've got Tre'Davious White at one corner. I think I've got a stud at all three levels of the defense. How good can they be back there?
It could be a very, very strong defense. It'd be a top, I think it was a top 10 defense in most metrics last year. It could be in that range, be top 5 this year. You know, it's funny, the Ed Oliver fan club of Bills Mafia is almost like the Josh Allen fan club, where he kind of had one maybe sort of kind of hurry in the game, and it went viral for like 3 days after.
Right.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be a heck of a player. He's going to be in the ones. He's going to be in that range. And you're right. You have, like, you can say a stud at every position. You have studs up the middle, defensive tackle, and at linebacker at this point. And then you have studs on the edge at cornerback, certainly with Tre'Davious White and some of the other guys who are out there. That's a good combination overall. And that's going to give the defense what it needs to be. Stout up the middle up front, so that the edge rushers, getting single coverage, but then in the back, you need those cornerbacks, and I think that's the key to success. That's something that the Bills can hang their hat on.
I'll bet a lot of our audience knows the clip you're talking about from Thursday's game, where Oliver pushed Quentin Nelson back in the pocket, but effectively Nelson did his job. He kept his quarterback clean. Yeah. He got pushed back, but you don't win anything for pushing someone back. You need to get to the quarterback. Right. That's the object, right?
Right. It was a little over-enthusiasm saying that this was some time to play. He's a good player. He'll be fine. Calm down, guys.
Right. Mike Denier, Bleacher Report, is on the Wester Hotline for just a couple of more minutes here with me on WGR. So you mentioned the Jets, and, you know, Darnold, yes, was more highly touted, more of a finished product, and it makes sense to me that objective observers would have him pegged or feel more confidence in him going into year two than they do in Josh Allen. The thing I'm wondering about is, you know, you talk about stability there. You had Gase sort of wedge out the GM after the draft was over and after free agency. Like, it was kind of weird. I mean, they made spent big money and then, you know, jettisoned the guy. I wonder, like, Gase to me, they had great success with Peyton Manning, and Miami was kind of messy. I don't know. Do you believe in him?
Yeah, I don't believe in him as his maybe necessarily outstanding coach. I think he'll put a pretty functional offense together with what they have there. And you talk about the stability. I'm worried about the stability long as well, because he's a guy who can wind up being used from here in Philly. But in the long term, I don't know what it'll be. In the short term, there's a place there. Right now, Jets fans are like throwing things at the radio right now. Their secondary is a mess besides Jamal Adams. Their cornerback situation's a wreck. They're grabbing guys off of kind of like the waiver wires to come and play offensive line. They're not a finished product. The Bills have a lot of things that they don't have right now. But one of the reasons why, and Aaron might have touched on this, why we're a little higher on the Jets is there's a scheduling discrepancy as well. They get the Bengals and they get some other weaker teams, whereas I think they get the Bengals and the Bills get the Browns or some combination like that, where there's a game or two along the way where the Jets just have an easy one and the Bills have a hard one. And that can make a big difference when teams are bunching around 8-8. That's the big difference between the wild card team and the team that looks like it had a step back or an unsuccessful year.
How about New England? Is it just a given that they will continue to lord over the division, if not the conference at this point? There seemed like, I don't remember if we talked to you late last year, maybe not, but there were some questions towards the end of the season about Brady, and maybe he answered those in the AFC Championship game. Didn't really have to do much in the Super Bowl as far as, you know, piling up points and yards and whatnot. But, I mean, Father Time, right? I mean, the joke is Father Time's undefeated. I mean, Brady's really giving it a run.
Yeah, but the Patriots showed you that in the Super Bowl. Brady had a bad game early in the game. He throws an interception. He throws like one or two passes down the range. But the defense played phenomenal. And the special teams played phenomenal in the postseason. So you're like, the punts are going to the 3-yard line and getting down so that the Rams can't do anything. All these little things, the little advantages the Patriots get, and they use them to beat you. And I'm watching the preseason game. They won their preseason game like 37-3, and I think it was 20-0 at halftime. So it was when like the primary backups were out there, and you know, guys that they're counting on go out there and they make these big plays. Guys who were on the bench for 2 or 3 years go out and they have 2 sacks. A guy named John Simon had an interception. Another guy, Rivers, had 2 sacks. These receivers you never heard of have 3 or 4 or 5 catches. That's how the Patriots get you. So, okay, Brady takes another step back, and he doesn't go like where Peyton Manning went and has this miserable year, or even he does, and the Patriots can still get the 10-6, 11-5, because they have the coaching, because they have the infrastructure, and because you hate that word, the Patriots way. They've got that method of making sure that they're restocked and reloaded and have the depth to get through a long year.
How about out west? The Chargers and the Chiefs both look just like Super Bowl-type contenders. Do you have a preference there? Is it right to put them in the same class?
And I think the Chiefs are kind of above. I think when you look right now at what Patrick Mahomes brings, he's one of those handful of guys in the league where you can almost put another win in place. You can always say this guy is going to take a game away from an opponent along the way. I love the Chargers. Obviously, Rivers is a heck of a player. They've got a lot of depth of talent. They've got a unique defense out there. But, you know, we talked about schedule a moment ago. It's another one of those years where if you look at the Chargers' schedule, you're like, how often are they on the East Coast? How often are they doing something crazy? I think they had one of their home games taken away from them because they're going to be in a Mexico game or a London game. I don't have it in front of me right now. All those little advantages add up for the Chiefs. They're disadvantages for the Chargers, and that could give the Chiefs a position to run away with that division.
What do you think happens with Melvin Gordon there?
The Chargers are not going to flinch. He's either going to come in by the third preseason game, or he's going to have to risk a Le'Veon Bell situation. The Le'Veon Bell situation didn't work out that well for Le'Veon Bell, so I see Gordon coming back and playing.
And how about Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas?
That's different because everything's bigger and crazier in Dallas.
Right.
I still think that gets resolved, but the big issue there is the Dak Prescott contract. When you got a team debating between $30 million, $32 million, the $40 million number, which might not have been 100% accurate, but when you're dealing with that, you can't turn around and be flexible offering your running back a contract. That can make things last a while.
Are they a real contender, Dallas, do you think? Like Philadelphia looks really strong, right, in that division. Like, is Dallas able to keep up with them, you think?
I don't see it on paper, but we keep talking schedule. And when you have the Giants losing a pair of games probably to both of the teams, Washington possibly losing a pair of games to both of those teams, you create this situation where both teams can go 4-0, or if they lose a game because you lose a game because it's a divisional opponent, that can create a situation where somebody who wasn't that good is suddenly 10-6 at the end of the year because they got a couple of gift wins. And the Cowboys could be that team. And again, you know, it's any given Sunday. Other things could happen as well.
All right. He is Mike Tenier, NFL national lead writer at Bleacher Report, as well as the co-author of the Football Outsiders Almanac. You can go to footballoutsiders.com to find that almanac and buy it there. That's how it's best to do it. Mike, I appreciate the time very much, man. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
You got it. Take care. Enjoy your week.
All right, man. Mike Tenier, Bleacher Report, here on the West Her Hotline on WGR. We'll take a time out here. Sal Capaccio is about 40 minutes away, live from Spartanburg, South Carolina, where the Bills have put the wraps on a second day of joint practices with the Carolina Panthers. So we've got that to look forward to. More on Clowney if you are up for it. I'd love to hear some more from fans on whether that's a good idea or not. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Lines are wide open right now, so the wait won't be long. Feel free to get in. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off. This is WGR.
We haven't really seen him since the end of the season, so you know, I really don't know. When he arrives, you know, we'll handle it when he arrives, but that's his prerogative. You know, he doesn't have to be here right now. That's part of the franchise tag and all those different things. So, you know, we'll do the best we can.
That is Houston coach Bill O'Brien talking about Jadeveon Clowney. Imagine he's answering a question there about what kind of shape they expect Clowney to be in if and when he ever decides to do them the favor of showing up. And, you know, you can kind of hear it in there. I don't know. We haven't really seen him since last year ended, so I don't know. I'll tell you, man, a key element of this idea, trading for Jadeveon Clowney from the Houston Texans, I'm up for it because I think there's at least a decent chance that you can take advantage of an organization right now that is not like not all that stable at the top. They don't have a GM. We just talked with Mike Tenier. Like, they made this trade for Duke Johnson, who's a nice player, but they paid a pretty big price for a running back. I mean, the story in the league is running backs and their value, and a guy who definitely wants to be traded, who's kind of like a spare part on his old team, Cleveland, they shuffled off a third-round pick for that. That seems kind of nutty. So I think you can do well in a trade with this team right now. And given Clowney's contractual status, he hasn't signed the franchise tender. He's not there in camp. He's not eligible for a contract extension with a team that acquires him. So I think you can buy low there for a player who is very good. I'm into it, man. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers.
I wonder if having the guy that you had the disagreement with on the Bills, though, would make it easier or harder to negotiate with. Because in one respect, he might not want to do business with you at all, but on the other hand, he might be like, all right, that's the team I can get the most out of because I know that guy really likes him.
Right.
I know he wants to pay him this much because we had that fight, if that was really
right.
What happened from
the
reporting.
Yeah, right. But still, even if you are the Texans and you're Bill O'Brien, and you suspect that Brian Gain really likes him, and therefore the Bills really want to do this.
That's who you call.
Right. But the reality is you can't expect much more than – I mean, I just don't think you can expect to do great in the trade if you're the Texans because you have no guarantee that the player is going to be with you beyond this season. And so if they are mad – at Clowney for all this, and you can take advantage of them, man, I'm that's a team I want to talk to all day long because it might be that they aren't doing what's best in the big picture, that they're acting emotionally rather than practically, and that's a team I think I want to deal with. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schopp has the day off, by the way. Let's fire it up here. Mike is first this segment. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. You know, I've been dabbling with this Clowney thing for a few days after, you know, the news came down. And I just, you know, there's something in my – I want this guy so bad, but there's just something that's telling me, you know, it's just not going to go the way that you want it to, even if, let's say, you steal him from the Texans. It just doesn't rub me the right way.
Well, have you thought that through? Have you tried to like dig deep into your psyche and figure out what it is that's rubbing you the wrong way about it? Because if you don't pay a lot for him, like if you steal him, what's the downside?
My quick thing is I think that the Texans wouldn't, not that they have much of a choice, but if they're going to shovel him off, they kind of got to know this is kind of a difficult guy to strike a contract with, and I just don't see him saying, "Oh, great, you know, I got traded to Buffalo. Now I can sign my." I mean, you know, maybe I'm reading too much into the hate that players might garner for Buffalo, but I just don't see him wanting to sign a long term deal with us. I just see us getting robbed in the end.
Okay, well, I don't see the part of this for me, Mike, is that I don't have to pay a big price because there's no guarantee that he stays with me beyond this year. I mean, I have to get him here in the first place. He's got to come in at some point. And maybe the trade facilitates that because the waters are muddied in Houston. And so he goes to a new place. And if he only plays the 1 year and leaves, well, if I've done the trade properly, like if I've paid a price commensurate that takes that risk into account, I don't really see a huge downside. I think it makes sense. And if I structure the trade in such a way that I pay more in the future, i.e. conditional draft picks in 2020 or 2021, should I reach a long-term contract extension with this player, well, then fine. I think that's a win for me too. So the point of entry for me in this conversation and the appeal of this idea, well, it's twofold. I like the player a decent amount. I think the player's a very nice, very good player, excellent player. I think I can buy low. Anytime those two things meet, I've got a good player that has strong value, but there's a contractual situation that is forcing his current team's hand to sell low. Boy, I want to be the team that's there buying. And if it doesn't work out, well, then I'm protected. If it does, i.e. he signs a long-term extension with me, then I pay some more. And that's okay too. But what I don't do is pay a lot with no guarantee, no protection, and have him walk away from me. Like, I mean, I don't do that. I would never do that. If that were the trade, I mean, I wouldn't be wasting 5 minutes talking about it. It just, that would make no sense. But the buy low aspect of it is what I find really appealing. So if I can take advantage of the general managerless Houston Texans right now, man, get on the phone. I'm all about it. Aaron is up next. Hi, Aaron. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
I'm pretty more what you'd be willing to give up. But before you answer, I'm kind of on board with you in terms of dealing with an organization that's kind of all over the place at the top there, and thinking that you can probably get the better end of the trade. And what I was thinking was, Chris Brown said it earlier, he was totally, it seemed like he was totally against the trade because you kind of are dealing with potentially not being able to sign this player at a long-term contract. Now, with that being said, like, the Bills could go all in with this trade in terms of saying that they're kind of looking at this season thinking that they can get into the playoffs, possibly win a round. I would probably ship Shaq Lawson over to the Texans and kind of wait, put that bait out in front of them, saying that you're going to lose at the end. Here's take one of ours, and at least they get a player that can start for them now. I just wanted to hear your thoughts. Thank you for my call.
Sure thing. Appreciate you calling, Aaron. Shaq Lawson makes sense from the Bills' standpoint. They turned down the fifth-year option on him, so he's – you know, he's playing effectively his finally, it's a contract year for him. So you've kind of got a wash there. There's no guarantee that either player is going to stay with the organization acquiring him. I just don't know that Houston, if they have to trade Jadeveon Clowney, I think I'm inclined to believe the reporting that indicates that they would be looking to upgrade their offensive line. So I don't know that Shaq Lawson really works for them. Would I trade Shaq Lawson straight up for 1 year of Jadeveon Clowney? Yes. Even though Lawson's younger, I think the Bills are acting like they're done with Lawson after this year because they didn't pick up that fifth-year option. So I got no protection that Lawson's going to be here beyond this year. The age difference is not huge enough to me to worry about it. I'm getting the better player. Both guys are under contract for 1 year. Fine. But I don't think it's realistic that Shaq Lawson would get the trade done from the Houston standpoint. Like, I don't think that they would accept that. It doesn't make sense to me from a distance that they would. If they would, great. You know, if your question is, would you do it if you're the Bills? I would absolutely do it. Do I think it's realistic? No. For the reasons I just stated. I think I might have to trade a lineman. And I don't trade Deion Dawkins, who's going into his third year, but maybe I trade Ty Ensekhe. Like, I like this player to even be a starter for the Bills, but if he can get me Jadeveon Clowney, I'm gonna try to find my way without him. I'm gonna put Cody Ford back out at right tackle, and one of these other veterans I signed is gonna play right guard for me, and I'm gonna put Jadeveon Clowney on my defense, and I'm gonna call that a win. So that I think offensive line is where you got to look if you're trying to make a realistic swap here. And Ensekhe's 34. He's not like a long-range player for the Bills. I think he can help the Bills this year, but I would give him up to acquire Jadeveon Clowney. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. I'll get some more of your calls. If you're on hold, stay put. Lines are open as well at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I've got Sal Capaccio coming up in about 20 minutes, but more of your calls straight ahead. Mike Schoep has the day off. I'm the Bulldog. This is WG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Going inside is a little different. Things happen quicker. There's tighter space and things are on you a little bit faster. Again, Cody, you know, he played that a while back in college and been a right tackle since then. But guys that are smart, guys that are tough, that can adapt, those are the guys we like to work with, and he's certainly one of them.
That is Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll talking about Cody Ford. played at right tackle today because Ty Insecki had the day off. Don't know. We'll talk to Sal here in about 15 minutes why Insecki had the day off exactly. But he did. So Ford was back out at tackle. When Insecki's been practicing, he's been with the first unit largely at right tackle while Ford has been bumped inside the guard. So he's been playing a little bit of both. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. I am the Bulldog. My show has the day off today. Let's talk to James up next. Hi, James. Thanks for calling. You're on the air on WGR.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. First time ever. Anywho's, I was thinking, you know, I know you said you wouldn't trade Deion Dawkins, but I'd be willing to do it and like a seventh round pick for Jadeveon if they could maybe squeeze a third or a fourth out of him. You know, I called before you made that point, but
yeah,
hearing what you thought about it.
What was, wait, was a part of that, what's the third or the fourth that I get a third or a fourth as part of the trade?
Yeah. And, like, give them your seventh.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a hard time with Dawkins because he's just so young. He's you know, he's on a rookie second rounder contract still. He's only going into year three. You'd be giving up, you know, a young player who, look, he's not the left tackle equivalent of Jadeveon Clowney, okay? I know that. At least right now. And I don't know that he even projects to ever be that good, like one of the best left tackles in the league or something. But I think he's a decent young player who I think it's reasonable to assert has not yet reached his ceiling. And I don't think for a player I'm renting, at least initially, I give that up. If I could do a long-term contract with Jadeveon Clowney right now, then that would change it. But I can't. Like, that rule is not changing. He is a one-year rental, and I, for me, Dawkins would be a no-fly zone. That's just me, though. I don't mean to, like, overvalue him. I'd be reluctant to give up a player that young at that position for a player I could only have for a year. If I'm going to pay some degree of fair market price for a future with Jadeveon Clowney, it's got to be conditional picks on the back end of the trade, i.e. picks that only are given up should I reach a long-term extension with Clowney. That's the only way I give up more than just, you know, well, it's the only way that I pay anything close to fair. Otherwise, I think I'm trying to steal this player. I think someone could steal him, which is why I'm really interested in it. Justin's next. Hi, Justin. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. Appreciate you taking the call, man.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for calling.
So I'm a transplanted Bills fan. Grew up in Chickamauga. I live down here in Greenville, South Carolina now. Got to go out to Wofford yesterday to see the boys throw it around.
Cool.
But so I became a Gamecock fan, you know, when Clowney was there and Stephon Gilmore and all those guys and everything. So he's obviously an absolute, you know, legend, Gamecock legend.
Yes.
So I'm a little biased there, you know, biased there. But I just, the way I look at it, you know, if we had a top five, top three defense, whatever it was last year, and you're bringing back a healthy Matt Milano, you're adding that Ed Oliver, and there's no downside to Jadeveon Clowney to that, you know, that situation. As far as what it costs or what it takes, I think we just got to, you know, we got to trust in Bean to do the right thing, which he's consistently done.
Yep.
You know, trust in Bean and trust in McDermott and trust the process. And that's kind of my thoughts on it, man.
All right, Justin, thanks for calling. Appreciate that. I think, look, if Houston is able to extract a bigger price, then I'm walking away. I don't have to do this. I think it can help me. I like the idea, but just to say it again, my point of entry in this, the appeal of it lies largely in what I might have to pay for a very, very good player. That's it. Like I don't want to do it if I don't want to overpay. And given Houston's current situation, I think someone who could step in and start for them at left tackle, even if it's only for a year or two, could be very appealing to them. And that's where Ty Insecki comes in, not Deion Dawkins. That's too steep, I think. Insecki at 34 years old, that might work for me. And it might work for them. I mean, it definitely works for me. I don't know if it works for the Bills, but it would work for me. And if it works for Houston, I mean, I'm all about that, because that's not a player that I'm moving forward with, you know, most likely. So that's it. Like, it's the cost and the player. If I had to pay what Chicago paid to acquire Khalil Mack, like, I'm talking about something else today. I'm talking about Josh Allen hitting dump off passes or something. I mean, I don't know. We're not spending hours talking about this. If I got to pay that kind of steep price, if I can lift him and buy low, man, go do it. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Take a timeout here. Our man Sal Capaccio, we'll get his thoughts on all of this Jadeveon Clowney talk. Right after this, Sal will join me live from Spartanburg, South Carolina. That's up next. Mike Schopp has the day off. I'm the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.